cliffcentral.com. The Leadership Platform is brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company.
This is Leadership in Education, part of Leadership Transformation Platform from 12 to 3. It's been a Leadership Masterclass 12 to 1. It's been a Business Masterclass from 1 to 2:30 with live SMEs in the audience here. And now it's Leadership in Education. We have a guest that we've had before. I'll introduce her in a moment. Last week, though, we spoke about SACE. Barbara, SACE is South African...
Council for Educators.
That's it. Just the relevance of that and how they fit in. Just remind us for the podcast, those who would be interested, principals, teachers.
Well, it's an important time for principals in South Africa because we've got new standards of principalship that have been tabled. There's also a proposed designation that's come out. So SACE are really the intermediary between the professionals and the system itself, and they need to make sure that continuing professional development happens for teachers and for principals. So last week's podcast is a summary of the support that SACE offers teachers and principals.
Okay. Anything happening on the education front that we should know?
Well, I thought it would be interesting for principals to know that last week there was a dialogue held at Wits School of Governance that focused on principals. It's called Principals Upfront. And there's some key information that came out there. A very nice presentation done by Mary Metcalf, former MEC for Education in Gauteng, on the matric results and what we should read from the matric results. And her presentation is available on the Bridge website, bridge.org.za. But the focus of the dialogue was the results that matter. And actually, it was an opportunity for some principals to talk about what they do in their schools once the matric results are out and how they handle the meaning of those results and take forward improvements and work with their staff and their learners to prepare for the next year's matric.
Okay.
So really worthwhile dialogue. There'll be a write-up about it in the City Press this Sunday, so Sunday the 14th of February.
Excellent. All right, in the studio we've got back. We just weren't happy enough with the telephonic conversation, so we decided to bring her all the way back. It's the the principal of Parktown Girls High School that I hear so much good about. So we have a podcast about 2 weeks ago, I think. If you want to go listen there, we just spoke general leadership by our special guest, Dr. Anthea Seresto, who's been there for many years. And it's a great school. Wonderful successes, of course, today, though. But let me first welcome you. Welcome in the studio. This is Cliff Central. Controversial Cliff Central.
Thank you.
It's good to have you with us. We're going to talk about planning. I got this interesting letter from a certain leader. I don't know what there's a fancy word for. He's a manager who oversees like 31 schools in a region, Mpumalanga. I don't know what they call it, a circle or
a circuit.
Circuit. There we go. Circuit. He's a circuit manager, and he wanted us to come help with a planning session. So today's show is going to be on planning. Obviously, at your school, you must get something right around planning. I'm sure it's not perfect. I'm sure it goes wrong sometimes. But you've got some model or process that you follow to plan successfully the ultimate successful outcomes in your school. Now, this is part of what I received from him. He said in 2013, such a planning initiative that they tried with all these schools, like 70 people, was able to raise the learners' performance from 56.7% to 75.9%. And our 2015 target, and this is sad, was 83.3%, and we were unable to achieve this target and got 58%. So something went horribly wrong there. This strategic planning session will prepare us to reach our 2016 target, listen to this, of 100%. So now they're jumping to 100%. I think the principles of planning will have to be really solidly in place. So you take us through planning cycles, your belief, Anthea, of planning when it comes to a successful school?
Planning takes a long time, but it's critical because it helps you be proactive rather than reactive. It reduces fuzziness. It makes expectations clear. But it's not done overnight. And we say that every moment you spend in planning saves many hours in actual execution. So the better you plan, the more time you actually save to deliver your job. So I have at least nine types of planning that we do.
Oh, that's a lot, isn't it?
It's a lot when you put it down on paper and you see the different stages of planning. But each is dependent on the other. So this particular person who says they are planning for 2016 grade 12 results, It's late in the day, but as we say, it's never too late to start.
Just know where you need to plan right now in this late hour.
Yeah. So, you know, what we do in our school is round about June, we do what we call internal whole school evaluation, where we evaluate all the areas of school operation.
This you did last June, so 2015-16.
That's right. So we did it, and it involves teachers and to some extent learners. And when we have something, we present it to the school governing body. The next stage then is school development planning, which we do around about July, August. So we identify areas that we are going to develop in, and we choose strands of development. Sometimes we have up to 8 strands of development.
Like, for example?
Like teaching and teachers. So that would focus on all the things that we're going to do to make our teaching more effective. It could be learners' psychosocial needs. It could be a parent column where we do things with parents. So we have our development areas.
All right.
Now, we work out what we want to do, because we then have to plan our budget accordingly. Because we mustn't forget that you do need some money behind much of what a school does. If you're a no-fee school, you've got to make sure that the limited resources that you have are allocated where they're going to have the effect that you wish. So it's not a random thing. So if the school has decided that their one and only target this year is much improved matric results, so be it. Then all their energies would get focused there. So it would be a single school development target. And that's fine, but I do think it needs to be quite reasonable. Because it's not easy to go from 58 to 100. There need to be steps, and I don't think they should set themselves up for failure, but that's another matter.
Yeah.
So once we've got that, then we have the budget in place.
That's the next planning one.
Yeah, so budget in accordance with the school development plan. After that comes annual planning, which we do start in September, end of September, and early October. That's all the stuff that you need to plan for the next year, which includes school hours for the year, allocation of teachers to classes, how you want to structure your school day. If you're going to have 6 lessons at 55 minutes, or you're going to have 10 lessons at 30 minutes, that kind of those big building blocks.
So that's the annual planning, and that's quite a lot of detail then.
It's detail. It's very much the detail that you have to fill in with actual real things like resources or like real bodies. Then we, in fact, put a lot of this into writing. So it's easy every year. So we have an end of year booklet, which plans by the day what everybody has to do each day to retrieve textbooks, to make sure marks are completed by a certain date, that a report is issued so that the promotions can happen. Very much the detailed end of year schedule. Then we have a similar thing for the first few weeks. Well, two weeks of the next term, also in detail, in writing, so that everybody knows what each person has to do on a daily basis at those particular stages. You get new learners into the school, so we have planning for how we're integrating the new learners. So those are detailed elements to make sure everybody knows what his or her role is at the beginning and at the end of each year. Then what I think the writer of your
circuit manager,
your letter there, what they really need to focus on is the subject planning. Now, we do subject planning in November, December. So close to the end of the year, each subject gets a day for planning. If it's a primary school, you could do it by phase. But they get a day when other teachers carry the duties, so that time is made for the subject teachers to meet without interruption, to evaluate the year, to have a vision for the year ahead, to plan in detail what kind of projects they wish to run, what is their assessment plan. In other words, this is all the curriculum leadership stuff. What they also could identify, particularly in a school that's not performing very well, is what are the professional development needs of the teachers in the subjects. So if it is geography, do they know how to teach mid-latitude cyclones and other complex geography concepts? Because if they don't, then we need planning of professional development to meet the teachers need before it's scheduled to be taught to the learners.
Because that will be asked in the exams, and kids must know that too.
They must know it, but the teacher's got to know it before the teacher can teach it. And if the teacher doesn't know right now, we need a staff development plan that lists all the development needs. Mm. So the circuit manager needs to say, what do the teachers in my circuit not know that we need to work on in time for them to teach it? Mm. So that's external planning even. But within a school, we would look, what do we need to improve? Mm. They didn't do very well. We used to have Annas. We don't have them anymore. But one of the purposes of Anna was to see weaknesses in particular teaching. So if Anna or matric results have shown weaknesses in a diagnostic report, let's work out how we're going to put that into our school development plan for the staff development.
Okay.
So that's another planning.
Sure.
There's another one. If the school is fortunate, and it's really important to try and encourage this, is the extramural program. Because there's lots of research to say when children are involved in the whole school program, afternoon activities, day activities, they're actually better committed students. So we need to do planning for the activities for the following year. The budget would already have been decided in terms of we've decided these are the school activities, the budget will have been allocated. Then we must plan. When are we going to have our events? It's not random. Let's have an inter-class athletics day today in the middle of the school week. You plan it in your schedule so that the teachers don't lose their teaching time, but we still have activities for the learners that enrich them and extend them and, in fact, are good for them. So all those activities need to be planned into the year. Then it comes to the teachers, and they can do this in subjects or individually, and that's really good lesson planning. If you're just teaching off the top of your head what you did last year and the year before and the year before, it's unlikely to be effective. So I have a template. It's very complex. I don't necessarily recommend it for all schools that are not perhaps at the same stage. But one key item would be, what's the learning target? Before you get into that lesson, what is your learning target? Not what activities we're going to do, which worksheet we're going to fill in, or how many of these problems we're going to solve, but what learning do you want to accomplish in this lesson? If the teacher can't say to you, I want my learners to have learned this in the next 40 minutes, we have a problem. And I think that's where we do really have our problems.
Okay.
So it's a lesson plan. So we do lesson planning using a template, but they can adapt the templates to suit the subjects. But it includes things like values. Because I don't think we pay enough attention to that. We do our curriculum that's in a document prescribed. But society is expecting us in schools to teach values.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure that you've integrated value teaching, whether it's school values or constitutional values. It needs to be integrated into the teaching. So I would say, anybody who thinks teaching is easy, no, it's not. To every 55 minutes in our school, you have to have a whole new plan of what you're going to do, and you're thinking of about 30 different aspects to consider every time you start a lesson.
Sure.
Like vocabulary. What vocabulary are you going to make sure is learned?
Okay.
Then we do school management team termly planning. So you have this annual plan, which is the big building blocks. And then to make sure we're on track, each term you would have a proper planning meeting with the management team. So are we on track? Let's monitor what we've done. Let's look at the detail of the term ahead so that there are no surprises, so that it's all there when we begin the next term, first day of the second term. We're all ready. We aren't still, you know, running after things because we haven't planned. And then we do a bit of weekly planning. And then I mentioned the staff development plan, which integrates everything along the way.
Sure. It's a lot of planning.
There might be some more, but that's all I can think of right now.
And do you somewhere have a big strategic plan that says this is the vision of the school? I guess that you don't do this every year, but you must review it, and our values as a school.
Yes.
You know, that sort of.
Yes, we do that when we do the internal whole school evaluation. That's where this comes in, and then internal whole school evaluation, we see where we are right now. And then we take it to the school development plan. So every 3 years, that exercise is quite a big exercise. So when we get a new school governing body, which is every 3 years, one of the first jobs they do. So last year was a new governing body, so that we did a strategic plan. Yes, I'm not so much in favor of strategic plan. You have all the big business people around here, but I've read something, but it's more like living planning, that in fact the planning is ongoing. It's not here we've got our strategic plan, we put it on the wall, but it's there. Actually, it's living planning, it's reviewing it. So we certainly review it each year, and sometimes we may say this is not relevant. We had it there, we didn't do it last year, or we did do it, but it accomplished nothing, so let's drop it. So it's a living plan.
So Barbara, I mean, one finds with a lot of schools, quarter one is frantic to get the year going, and quarter four is frantic to get things set up for end of year, new year. It's not, the franticness is not spread across the year in many ways. Is that what you find? And then the question is whether this planning, all these planning cycles you mentioned, Anthea, helps you not be frantic in quarter one and quarter four. But do you find schools are kind of really in a mess the first bit and the last bit?
Absolutely. I think that often there's a delay in the planning about the year into the first quarter. And as you say, Anthea, it's far too late. So what we've heard is that planning is a deliberate process and it requires thinking all the year through. And there's kind of like it feels like stages or a life cycle for a principal's job, that per month there are different planning activities to be done. But as you've spoken today, Anthea, I've been reminded of when you were on a few weeks ago and you spoke about the central role of the principal, and you said it's leading learning, it's being an instructional leader, and so much of this planning that you've described today is about learning, planning for learning. So, you know, subject planning or staff development planning or lesson planning. The whole idea is that you as principal are leading the learning in the school.
Yes, it's absolutely critical. I think a school will go nowhere if the principal abrogates responsibility for this. If you hand it over to a subject head, often a head of department is a math teacher but is responsible for life sciences. They don't know the ins and outs of the subject, and they're uncomfortable dealing with the teachers of those subjects because the teachers will say, well, what do you know? So if the principal does this as a whole school thing and all the subjects are involved when this happens, it gives position, it gives place and authority to each subject to go and do what they need to do in order to know what they have to teach next year, but also to equip themselves. So they need to identify what don't they know so that they can get better. And even really good schools can still develop subject knowledge or methods of teaching the subjects.
Okay. Louis, you had some thoughts on planning.
Well, Doctor, I've got a bit of a passion. I was a young faculty manager appointed, and I didn't have a clue what's going on. I really was in trouble. And then one night, I had a kind of inspiration to plan how to go to work early and started planning. That changed my life completely. So this planning culture is far more than being systematic. It's something to do with the mindset. It also applies to your daily activities. There are crucial things you want to plan. And then you have a spirit of confidence about you, of order, which makes us a different. He who is prepared shall not fear. So planning goes as a mindset that is really all to do with wisdom, because the more you plan, the more you can focus on the task at hand, because the planning is looked after. If you don't plan, you're reactive all the time. So we appreciate immensely what you're saying there.
Yes, I really do believe in this. Otherwise, you're on a sort of emergency mode the entire time. It enables you to say, I know what I'm going to do. For instance, our last 6 weeks is carefully planned. That people even get a book, if you've got enough money to print a little booklet. Each day is detailed for them. No one needs to be taken by surprise. Everything runs smoothly, so we don't have the tensions and the distress that often arises at the end of years.
You see, surprises come anyway, but you're far better
prepared.
Reduce them as well, yes.
So let me say this almost towards the end of the show, really. If you can plan well, it's probably easier for you to be on the floor and walk around.
Yes.
Because those things are in place.
Good point.
It's planned. I can actually walk the floor. I can get to know the names of the girls. I can actually be visible and be seen. If not, I'm back there dealing with crisis because I didn't plan.
That is 100% correct. Getting out there is really important. Another thing is, I didn't say it last time I was here, about something about leaders. I think leaders need to read. They need to read within their field. But actually, if you're leading a school, you need to read wider than that. You need to read about South African economics. You need to read about South African politics. You need to read broadly. And in fact, business management. Read all sorts of things that you can bring into your work.
Yeah.
So that if you have everything organized, it leaves you time to read more in your field. You can do some research so that you can help your teachers teach better because you've now learned something that you have read. But if you don't read, where are you actually getting anything to draw on?
Well, to give. You've got to fill yourself in order to pour out, and it gives you context.
Beautiful, okay. Yes. We always speak of leadership as about essence, but also about contextual relevance. And so lovely, the feeling that teachers got a broad context. Surely then they can endow that spirit in the pupils, not just a glorified student.
Dr. Anthea Seresto, thank you so much for coming. Parked on Girls High, that went really fast. A lot of detailing there. I hope the principals listen and get something from it. I think they will. Barbara, final comments?
Well, just to reiterate that good leadership is not reactive, that planning sounds almost like it's not part of the leader's role. It sounds like it's a kind of mundane managerial function, but in fact it's absolutely essential for effective leadership, and we really see effective leadership in action here. Parktown Girls is one of the top performing schools in the country, and this kind of leadership is the reason why.
Lovely.
That's Leadership Transformation Platform, 12 to 3, and I love the education part. I'm grateful that we had Anthea in the studio today. It was great meeting you, and Barbara, thank you for organizing it. That's it, leadership. Go out there, create movement, and we look forward to being with you next week again. All the best.
The Leadership Platform was brought to you by Sibanye Gold, a proudly South African mining company.
I am the future of South Africa. On my shoulders, I carry the hopes and dreams of generations to come. I'm eager to learn, but even more eager to use my knowledge for good. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye Gold, we believe our youth is worth its weight in gold, which is why we are so committed to developing, nurturing, and grooming our young people into future leaders. Sibanye Gold, we are one. CliffCentral.com